Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Pray with me. Our God, we need you. We need your work in our hearts. There are many things that we cling to that we are aware of, and there are things that we are clinging to that we are not aware of. We need you to set beautiful truths before our eyes. We need your spirit to convince us of sin and of righteousness and of salvation. That we will let go of those sickly things that would drag us down, and that we would hold on to you, that we would seek your face, that we would walk in your paths, that you would be glorified. Please help us now as we look at your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bait and switch. The bait and switch in our lives. Some of us have experienced the bait and switch. Some of us have gone to buy a car that was advertised. I've gone to buy a car that was advertised, a brand new Geo Metro for $8,000, they advertised. And when I made the trip, arrived there, they said, no, we don't have anything like that. You can't get a new car for $8,000. They said, here, let us show you these other cars. We've got some great deals here for you. Nothing matched up to the $8,000 that was promised. As you worked in your life, the bait and switch, you've been offered good things, beautiful things, later on only to find that these things weren't good, that these things were not beautiful. You've been invited to different circumstances, promised good things. You've been promised life and joy and peace and prosperity. And Satan promises these things. Again and again, he says, take this, eat. You'll have what you really want. You will be like God. You will be blessed. Well, the blessing is what everyone is actually after. There's joy, there's peace, a hope, a confidence. Here we come to the scripture and we are given a presentation. And we are given an offer to be blessed. To be blessed. Now there's no bait and switch with this one though. As we are given this opportunity to be blessed, we are shown the ways in which we can be blessed in Christ Jesus. There's a hope offered, a confidence, a joy, and a peace. Now, as we are offered this joy and this hope and this confidence and this peace, we'll find that we do go astray and we do fall off. But we're reminded also that it's in Christ Jesus where we have this blessedness. That when we go astray and we fall short, we look to him and we come back to him with repentance. And that's a part of the call for us tonight. To find ourselves blessed, or to check to see if we are blessed in the righteous one. In Christ Jesus, walking with him. So look with me at verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So for us, as we would be applying and checking our lives, preparing ourselves for the Lord's Supper, we would look and see, and we would check to see if we're seeking worldly advice. And we all are. We are in a world that's constantly advising us, telling us what is good, telling us what we need, telling us what is right. Yesterday morning, I was sitting in a surgery waiting room, waiting for my father to come out of surgery. And so there's a television set on, and it's playing the morning show. And it was quite the spectacle. I was shocked by what I was seeing. These popular people were sitting, and there was a man that was obviously genetically a man with huge amounts of makeup on, but still something dressed something like a man and something like a woman, to the where he was just this bizarre spectacle. Now, the sound was low enough that I couldn't hear it, but he spoke for a while, and I could see the audience applauding him and rejoicing in him. And then eventually, a mother and father came out with a child. And this child was dressed probably gender neutral. You would look and say, boy or girl? And I really couldn't make it out. And then they brought the child across and introduced the child to this man. And they embraced. And the man looked at this child. And they looked at each other with this warmth and some kind of affection. And the crowd just went crazy. And they sat down together. And this man that was dressed partially like a woman was holding this boy or girl at this point. And this was being portrayed and cheered for and applauded as if this is something wonderful. This is something beautiful. Well, the world is shouting counsel at you. That what God has set up is not good. God says he made them male and female. But then it's change for us, or change for people to go ahead and make up your own mind. Are you male? Or are you female? Or are you something completely different? The world is shouting counsel. The world is shouting wicked counsel that is harmful to us. I asked Leslie this past week, I said, what would you think if I told you that preaching is group counseling? And she laughed at it at first, or giggled at the thought, and then she said, I think that's right. It really is. Preaching is group counseling. Us coming to a consensus that we agree with the scripture, that we believe what God has said. And this is one of the reasons I don't counsel people for long if they won't come to church. Because they're already rejecting counsel. They're rejecting the group counsel. So we look at our lives and we look to see, what counsel are we receiving? What counsel are we seeking out? Is it the scripture? Is it the word rightly proclaimed? This is where our hope is. Now, whenever, and I've seen this a lot, whenever you find yourself wanting to go get counsel and you decide, I probably shouldn't talk to one of my elders. I probably shouldn't talk to anyone at church. I should probably go to someone more on the fringe. You're starting down a bad path. You're seeking danger. You're moving away from light. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he's also the father of this world that would rebel against God. So we check our lives and see if we're following or seeking worldly counsel rather than speaking and receiving the group counsel or the group counseling of the scripture in the assembly. Our next step is to check your heart for the love of the word. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Is that the reality of your life? Do you delight in the scripture? If we went through Psalm 119, we could see all the pictures that the word is sweeter than honey, more valuable than riches. By it, the servant is rewarded and warned. There are good things and blessed things. There have been times where I've been rescued, and I've been very grateful to have been rescued. There have been times where I had my phone with me, and I was lost, and my phone was able to tell me where to go. And I rejoiced in my phone because it gave me good instructions, and I wasn't lost anymore. How much more so the Scripture? It directs us. It helps us. It saves us. It protects us. Check to see if the Scripture is the delight of your heart. John 3:18. He who believes in Him is not judged, and he who does not believe in Him has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I've skipped ahead here. We're in our third step now. Our third step is remember the terrible judgment. Verses 4 and 5. The wicked are not so. They do not have this blessedness. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Not standing in the assembly of the righteous. There's a place in Proverbs chapter 5 where Solomon says, almost I was an utter ruin in the midst of the assembly. Can you imagine being in that place where you were too ashamed to come to the assembly? I was talking about there was a young man in one of our sister churches, and he had fallen into sin, and he had been in a sinful relationship, and now he has multiple children from the sinful relationship where he hasn't been married. And I was asking about the well-being of this young man, and the preacher said he came to church last week with his girlfriend and his children. And it struck me that I said, that's a bold move. Those are heavy steps to take, to be in the situation where you're actively living in sin, but to come into the midst of the assembly. I was also having a conversation recently about church discipline and church membership. There's an organic nature to it. We're part of one another, right? We live as parts of each other's lives. And there's an organic nature to this arm being attached to me, there's an organic nature to us being attached to one another. I was talking to the young man who's been worshiping with us for a long time, and he's been at all of our functions, and he comes to our prayer meeting, and we were talking about church membership. And I was describing, well, there, in a sense, you are becoming a member of our church. There's a reality to that. Whether or not you are taking the vows, and you should take the vows, and you should enter in officially, but you already are becoming a part of this. In the same way, when we had to excommunicate a member of the church, he excommunicated us first. He already quit coming. He wasn't here. He was already a limb that had cut himself off. There's a nature to our belonging to one another, and the assembly is that place where we actually belong to one another. We actually belong here. We actually belong together as a part of each other's lives. We look and it says, but the wicked will not be there. The wicked will not be assembled. And in the last judgment, it's not as if they're going to be trying to get in, that they want to come to the throne and worship. The book of Revelation actually describes the people who are under judgment, they're gnawing their tongues rather than confessing and repenting. They hate the assembly. They hate the presence of God. So we look and we try to, and that sounds ugly, and it is. So we consider the true judgment that comes, and we draw close to live in that blessed life, rather. Matthew chapter 3 brings in this picture of the chaff being thrown into the air and driven away. Matthew 3, John the Baptist speaking, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, and I am not fit to remove his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. This is Jesus coming, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. This is the wheat being gathered, the chaff being thrown. Clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into his barn, that is us, to the assembly, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We remember that reality of Christ Jesus. Our next step, we move back to verse 3. He who is in Christ, he will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. This step is to check your life for love and stability. Now, the Christian life is going to be a life of teetering. I was recently exploring this and thinking of like balancing on railroad tracks. I can do it. I can balance on railroad tracks, but I can't do it forever. Quarter mile is my record, which I think is pretty good. You're going to fall to the left, and you're going to fall to the right. What matters is you get back and you keep going. It's this narrow road. Falling to the left, I think in terms of, and this has nothing to do with anything political, being left or right at this point. Falling to the left, you can think in terms of, I'm doing so well, I'm pulling it off. And that's a stumbling. From there, you return back to grace, and you get on that narrow road, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes we stumble, and we fall into some complacency or some active and disgusting sin. And we fall off there. That's a problem too. And what do? We move back to the center. We move back to grace. We live in grace. We walk in grace. We stumble. We fall this way. We fall that. But the thing is, we keep coming back. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. I rejoiced this past Sabbath when we were singing, and in Psalm 71, we sang something like, "You commanded my salvation." Other translations say, "You ordained my salvation." But to be firmly planted and brought to that place is a beautiful place of joy and confidence. Galatians 5:22-23, this tree firmly planted by streams of water. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is the accomplishment of the Holy Spirit in us, is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we check our lives for both love and stability, because it's love that is the heart of the law. And our fifth step is that center rail, that narrow road, where we rely on Jesus' righteousness. No one should come to the Lord's Supper imagining they've arrived, that we've pulled it off on our own. I take the cup, I take the bread, because I deserve it. We take the cup, we take the bread, because Christ Jesus laid down his life for our rescue. We fall to the left, we fall to the right, but we come back to Christ each time. Romans 3:21-22. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is and through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. We see this beautiful place of the announcement that we have in Christ from Psalm 22:22. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And we see the righteousness that we have been given as it was announced in Zechariah 3:4. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Again, he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes." Your iniquity, your sins, Your transgressions, your trespasses have been removed by Christ Jesus. And you're loved and you're received. So take this heart and have this heart as you examine your life, as you prepare for the Lord's Supper, that we will come worthily and that we will come rejoicing in the great salvation that has been purchased for us. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for having loved us and blessed us and saved us. Thank you again for your patience. Thank you for the opportunity to give you your worship. God, please move in us and help us to come worthily to your table this Lord's Day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.